10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
All right, coming up, we're going to keep track of the storms across the country. Every update on snow available will be yours. Why? Because this show is live.
There's an old guy who's on the air, and they call him Sterling. The bosses hired him on a dare, and they call him Sterling. Kind of hip, kind of odd,
Sterling.
Kind of smart, kind of strange,
Sterling.
A different show that's here to stay, and they call it Sterling.
Sterling every damn night.
W2RE, this is W6RRR. W2RE, this is W6RRR. Good evening, Ray. You're 5'9 here in Washington. The White House itself. Over.
W6RRR, W2RE.
All right, we're live across the nation from WGAN in Portland, Maine, where, believe it or not, it's 42 degrees. It's 42. According to the National Weather Service, they have the worst weather. Portland, Maine has the worst weather in the nation right now, but they're 42 degrees. So congratulations. Not much of a winter showing. Phil Zachary is happy tonight. He didn't have to plow. I bet Phil, you know, I can't imagine Phil Zachary, the manager of WGAN, Saga Communications. I can't imagine Phil shoveling the walks himself. I see that Phil looks at it as an opportunity to support youth, an opportunity to help high school kids get through the winter, get into college, avoid all the Sallie Mae loans. I'm sure that Phil pays the kids to shovel. And by the way, that's quite a trick. Finding kids who will shovel, a special challenge, a spiritual quest. But I'll bet you he pays them $50 for the driveway and $30 for the sidewalks. And then at the end of the season, I bet you Phil gives him another $100. Because that's the kind of guy Phil Zachary is. He would overpay the high school kids to be considered the best guy in the neighborhood, because as the general manager of WGAN in Portland, Maine, he is the best guy in the neighborhood. Now, he's no Paul Vandenberg. He's no Paul Vandenberg in Albany. But in Albany, there's always snow. There are two seasons in Albany, winter and the 4th of July. There's always snow in Albany. And therefore, Paul would be broke if he actually paid the high school kids. I bet he has a deal. Maybe he has a barter. Listen very carefully to Paul Vandenberg's radio station in Albany, New York. Listen to how many snow removal commercials there are on it, and that'll tell you whether or not there's a barter. Hi, I'm Walter M. Sterling, and you and I have just gotten through one of the most difficult periods of our lives. You and I have just gotten through Thanksgiving. And you think you know your relatives, and you think you know your friends. And there's an ad out right now that says, you don't really know anybody until you've slept with them. You don't really know them well until you've slept with them. That's just not true. The first time you get her to sleep over, the first time he sleeps over at your place, you don't get to know them any better, because you are on your best bedding behavior. You're wearing the good pajamas, the good nightie, not the torn up one, not the one that with the tomato sauce stain. You're properly dressed for a good night with somebody for the first time. The bathroom's immaculate. There are no dishes in the sink. You've made your place look as less like Hoarders Are Us as you possibly can. And remind me, we have to talk about hoarding for the holidays. No, I'm not making that up. Home and Garden, or one of those gardeny channels, they actually had a series this weekend, Hoarding for the Holidays. Psychos who save and will not throw away Christmas decorations and wrapping. Just imagine. They pay for storage units when their basement and their attics and all those other rooms are filled to the ceiling with Christmas stuff. And then they rent a storage unit to put in more Christmas stuff. But you have not, you don't get to know anybody by sleeping with them. The first, second, you don't get to know them any better than you know them now. The way you really get to know somebody, the way all the filters go down, the barriers disappear, the way you really get to know them is if you spend a night in their house as a guest. As a guest. The cousin, the strange uncle, the strange aunt. Even if it's a relative you like, really like, Pam and Denny, even if it's a relative you really like, the one in Newtown, you don't really get to know them until you spend a night in their home. Especially if you spend the night in their home alone. Because then you have no filter. Then you don't have a significant other, a kid, a relative. You don't have nobody to filter it. It's just you and them. And the challenge is that there are unwritten laws about how that house works, how that home works, how the couple, the person, how that person works day to day, crunchy time. What are their secret rules? Their secret rules. And throughout their home and their lives are tripwires, right? You know what I'm talking about. There are tripwires. That in each room, each appliance, each item in the refrigerator has tripwires around it. Except you weren't given the map of the mines. You have no idea where those tripwires are. You think, well, I'm a guest, and I will go forth as though this is a hotel. And it is not an Embassy Suites. It is not even a peninsula. It's not a peninsula. Not a Hyatt Regency, Indianapolis in the 70s. It's none of those things. It's their house. And they have a barrage of rules and regulations that you will only find out when you violate them. And then they rack up. It combines how often are they going to be annoyed with you and the score they keep and how often you resent them for bringing something up, and that's the score you keep. And you and I will discuss in detail what I went through with the tripwires I had to deal with when I spent one lousy night at somebody's house. Wasn't even my idea. There's no good news at Thanksgiving except that it's over. Walter M. Sterling, hello. Walter M. Sterling, live on the radio as we drive across 80, 90, the 101, the 4, oh my God, the 4. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
It's the toughest job in the world. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, find out about the madman who went on a chaotic joyride through Brooklyn. Coming up in moments on Sterling, every damn night.
Florida stories. It's the wildest, weirdest, stupidest, grossest, funniest, sexiest stories from Florida. I'm James Parker. Florida stories is coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Button yourself up. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Happy Thanksgiving.
From Sterling every damn night.
It's 20 minutes past the hour, 20 minutes past the hour with Walter Sterling. Good evening. It's exciting to be in the car with you tonight. I love long weekends because I love doing nothing. One of the great joys of my life is I've mastered how to do nothing and make it look like something. I'm as efficient as a high school student in terms of looking busy while doing nothing, or as anybody in the sales department. Your sales department, too? Isn't that amazing how busy they look? Really amazing how busy they look and how things don't change. Our revenue's down this quarter. Really? Because the sales guys looked really busy. They filed a lot of reports and our sales or revenue are down this quarter. The problem is with the product. No, there's no problem with the product. I don't care what you manufacture. You manufacture M&M peanut. You manufacture media, magazines, dirt, rare earth, whatever it is, it's not the product. It's not the product. It's not the sales department. It's the sales mission and strategy that's 9.5 months old. It's always out of sync with the changing marketplace in every single industry. Right? Right? The sales guys are busting their chops. There's nothing harder to do than to sell your product. And imagine selling radio. What are they selling exactly? They're selling air. Oh, they're selling air. I have endless respect for anybody whose job it is to sell air. Now, I got to share this with you. And I just got an A from Lee Harris, the sound executive, the executive producer of all audio on Sterling. He's not a tech. He's an artist. He can shape compression the way others work in clay. That's what Lee Harris does. Not to mention, there are many audio features, audio highlights throughout the show that he is responsible for. If you don't like them, his fault. 22 past the hour, 23 past the hour, as we drive away from the relatives. I don't care where you are. You're driving away from the relatives. Congratulations. There's no greater test of how well you and I know somebody than spending a night in their house. You've had many dinners with them, many lunches with them. You've bonded with them, maybe even shared birthday gifts. This is somebody you've known a long time. And they say, well, why don't you just stay at our house? And you're like, boy, that's a lot better than wasting $300 on an okay hotel or $600 on a great hotel that I can't afford, right? Yeah, I'll stay at old Charlie's house. Let me just stay at his house. And it's especially bad if you stay there alone and not with your significant other or your spouse or both. Either way. Well, now you're in their house. And now it gets really interesting. Because when I stay in someone else's house, I don't know the rules. But there are rules. There are rules in every house. My wife said, and now she has since denied, that if we stay in somebody's house, that automatically means we have 100% access to everything in the refrigerator. And I lived by that. She denies it now. She, oh, I never said that. Yes, you said it. You said it. One of the things about me being a radio savant, I have 100% perfect memory of everything I've heard. I have crappy memory of anything I've seen or written, but I have absolute memory of everything I've heard. And she said, yeah, if we're a guest in somebody's house, we can eat anything in the refrigerator. Okay. I'm at somebody's house once, and I'm eating anything in the refrigerator. And then the wife finds me later in the day. Did you touch Alan's jar? What? Did you touch Alan's jar in the refrigerator? What are you talking about? There was a mason jar of his very favorite jam. Yeah, the cherry jam. Cherry jam is also my favorite. Sorry, I had to move. Also my favorite. And I ate it. Yes, it was great.
Oh, that's Alan's favorite jam. Oh.
Well, then there was no, I swear to God, the next 24 hours, nobody talked to me because I ate Alan's cherry jam that was in the refrigerator. Then another time, same house, I needed to do my laundry. And I threw my laundry in the washing machine and I did my laundry. And I was proud of myself because I did my laundry. Rather than carry around dirty laundry, I washed it and I made it nice and I folded it enough. And it was terrific. And then I heard,
oh, did you do laundry?
Yeah, I did laundry.
Oh, by yourself?
Yes, I mastered it in college, actually.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I wish I had known. You could have done your laundry with hours and saved.
Here's the headline.
And saved electricity.
What? They thought I was wasting electricity by doing a whole load of wash by myself and not throwing my wash in with their wash, which I viewed as disgusting. Now, I'm sure everything would have come out just fine in the wash, but I found it disgusting. And I...
Next time, ask, and you can do it with ours.
No, I'm not doing it with theirs. I left them $10 for the electricity. I left them a $10 bill for the electricity. Then I had stayed at this person's house a couple times and left on, you know, turned on the air conditioner at night. I can't sleep without an air conditioner on my whole life. First thing I do when I get a new apartment or a new house or a new whatever, I make sure I have an air conditioner in the bedroom. I have to have it. I need the circulation of the air to breathe. Don't ask me what that's about. No, I don't smoke. And I need the ambient noise. That's my white noise. And I need a cold room. Good news. Dr. Oz says you need to sleep in a cold room. That is the fastest way for you to fall asleep because your hibernation instincts will kick in. All right. You like bears. And so I turned on the air conditioner. And stayed there. And then the next time I turned on the air, well, it was three or four times I had the air conditioner on. And then out of nowhere, a sneak attack said,
"Oh, you can't turn on the air conditioner."
Why? And I thought we were going to get the electricity thing.
Because if this is on and another one is on,
and there were some others in the house that were on,
It'll short a fuse. A fuse will go out.
Now, mind you, I had had it on many times before, and no fuse had ever disappeared. No fuse had ever gone out. Suddenly, there was a fuse problem. Again, I didn't get the memo. I didn't have the memo. And here it is, tripwire after tripwire after tripwire of things I have done wrong, but I didn't get a memo about how to behave as their guest. There wasn't a list of their rules. Don't eat the food. Don't use the wash. Don't use the air conditioner. That whole list. Meanwhile, if you stay at my home, if you stay with me and my, I don't know, 8 cats and 20 children, I don't care. Do whatever you want. I could care less because nothing, listen to me, nothing is that important. Nothing is that important. Enjoy your time. Enjoy your time on Earth while you're staying in my home. I would never give anybody all these wacky rules, right? Let's talk. 855-839-1210, Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Boom, boom, Hollywood, Sterling every damn night.
Well, it's very exciting for you to be on Sterling every damn Sunday. Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, who's based in Hollywood, a state of mind, and he's an expert on all things movies. One of the challenges of dealing with Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood is that he's an educated man, which is a tough fit on this show. I have to drag him out of the art houses and into the AMC theaters where he can overeat popcorn and watch women in the nude. What did you see this weekend, Boom Boom? What did you see this weekend? Did you see any nude women?
No, Walter, I didn't. And not from lack of desire. Let me tell you, not from lack of desire. We saw the new picture with George Clooney, Jay Kelly. And there are some beautiful women in it, playing his two daughters, Riley Keough. You may remember her from Mad Max Fury Road. She plays the elder daughter, almost adult daughter, and a younger one, kind of a hip art house kind of girl, is played by Grace Edwards, who was in Asteroid City. She plays younger daughter Daisy, who runs out on this.
You skipped a beat.
I did.
Explain who Riley Keough is.
Well, well, she's tall. She's lovely.
No, who is she?
You may,
who is she?
Well,
by lineage.
You know, she's an,
by lineage.
Oh, I see. You want the backstory. Well, she's from Santa Monica. She's, of course, Lisa Marie Presley's daughter. And,
Elvis's granddaughter.
Yes, indeed.
Elvis's granddaughter. And the first commercial work she had was for like a Netscape Next Something series where she played a high-class escort girl, which is, of course, a oxymoron. But she played a hooker.
She also was on the runway for Dolce & Gabbana. You know, she was on Vogue many times with her mother and grandmother, even. She was
there
in Magic Mike and a couple
now,
of other titles.
But anyway, now you're setting the stage correctly. So this is a hot girl who, oh, by the way, is Elvis's granddaughter, who started her picture career playing a hooker. Bravo. Now we're interested. Go ahead.
Of course, but unfortunately, she's just a sweet young lady in this movie who is the daughter of a movie star played by George Clooney, Jay Kelly, the titular character, who doesn't have any time for his kids, because he's too busy being a celebrity surrounded by his keepers and caretakers, primarily Adam Sandler, who is his agent, and Laura Dern, who is his publicist, moving him from one place to the next. But he gets a wake-up call when a guy he used to act with as a kid, who got him his first gig, didn't get the gig, and his life went in another direction, and he's always resented it. So he kind of wants to get into fisticuffs with him when he sees him at a bar one night, and they have a drink, and it goes south, and he starts to reconsider. That is to say, the part played by Clooney, he starts reconsidering his whole life. So he goes off on a long adventure in Europe because he's chasing his daughters to try to get some quality time with them as he reexamines what the heck's going on with his life. But, of course, being the big movie star that he is, he has trouble escaping that world while he's trying to be a regular guy with his two kids. And the kids, you know, are pretty much isolated and distant from him because he's never had time from him. But he's trying. He's trying. And that's at the crux of what Jay Kelly is all about, which is currently in theaters and starts on Netflix on December 5th.
And what's the name of it again?
Jay Kelly, which is the name of George Clooney's character. Now, Adam Sandler, I have never liked. I have never liked Adam Sandler. And yet I find that in this movie, he played a very sensitive part as the agent for Clooney. And he was exceedingly human and very sensitive. And I never saw him play a role quite like this. And it's entirely possible he'll get some nomination or at least a nod for an atypical out of character performance. This was not a slapdash comedy. This was not stupid stuff. It was actually a very sensitive, great performance from Adam Sandler. So I think that was really great, and I was really impressed. So there you go.
What's the name of the movie again? What's the name of it again?
Jay Kelly.
Now, is this a big movie or an art house movie?
No, I think it's, well, you know, you've got George Clooney in it. That's a big name, so I think you're going to have a lot of draw based on that. And you've got great actors in it, including Stacy Keach, who plays Clooney's father in the movie. Laura Dern is, you know, certainly a big name. So I think it's on the bigger side. But as far as grosses, it's low on the grosses. It only started last week. The grosses this week have gone to other movies like Zootopia 2, which cleared up about $38 million in this since Friday, and Wicked for Good trailing behind with $26 million since it opened. So those are the biggest box offices we've had in a couple of weeks, because other movies are just doing like $1 and $2 million. It's been kind of a desert at the box office until Wicked, and then later Zootopia 2 came out this Friday.
Now, do you think Wicked is a disappointment to the studio? Do you think at $20 million that it's a disappointment? Because it must have cost $800 million to make.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're thrilled with how little it's making compared to what it cost. And I'm just trying to see if I can find the I don't have the cost of its budget right in front of me, but they would like more, of course. But they're thrilled that they got that much, considering the rest of the box office, especially since the critics have panned it. I saw it, and I didn't think it was that great either, although I liked it much better than the first one. It still wasn't that great for me. I kind of was glad the whole thing was over. But, you know, I'm not a teenage kid, and I'm not into that kind of a Broadway show kind of movie, so I'm not the audience for that movie.
Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood is our film critic, our film expert. But Wicked, I can't see it. If one of my kids said, we got to see it, some of my kids went to see it with other relatives, but I wasn't going to go because I could not stand to watch Ariana Grande in that shape for two and a half. I mean, she looks like she is dying. And eat a cheeseburger. All I could think of is the poor kid is anorexic. She has a disease. And just like Judy Garland, no one seems to be worried about her weight.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And who knows, maybe she does have some real issues there. The budget on Wicked, by the way, was $150 million.
Hey.
So so there you go.
Yeah, they're not going to get it back. And you figure the catering would have picked up more than they did. You figure the catering budget would have been bigger. Here are these two women who appear to be approaching lesbianism. They're always holding hands. They've made a decision to stand at the edge of the cliff of starvation for God knows what dystopian reason. And I feel sorry for them because that is not a passive decision. To be that thin, they have made a decision to kill themselves.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And that's a problem I will never suffer from, unfortunately. I could stand to lose a little weight, but not that much weight.
No, you're a very healthy man. You're a very healthy man.
Exceedingly so. And by the way, I just want to say that your test of finding out how you really get to know someone, staying in their home, I was just fascinated. You know, after you ate the very special jam, I'm surprised you were invited back the second time. I mean, after that, and then you had the laundry debacle. Do these people even talk to you? But I think that the real test to know someone is to go on a long road trip. You go on a long road trip with someone in a car, you're going to find out everything you need to know.
You're going to find out everything you need to know about your kids. You're going to want to get rid of your own children after a long road trip in the car. Mateus, how do we find you online?
It's at Mateus Bombals Hollywood on Facebook. That's spelled MATIASBOMBAL'S Hollywood, like the city. On Facebook, Mateus Bombals Hollywood. Thanks a lot, Walter.
You're so stupid. You're going to leave me? You're going to leave this? Really? Oh, God.
I'm sorry to do this to you.
Shut up. You know what? You should just go, Tom. Just go. Go. Go have fun. Have fun with your old woman. Go read at night together. You can go through menopause together, and you can go get your little prostates checked. Check each other for lumps all the time, and do those kinds of things together. And then go get some Crocs so your back doesn't hurt. And then you can go walk on the beach.
Sterling every damn Sunday.
It's the toughest job in the world. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, find out about the madman who went on a chaotic joyride through Brooklyn. Coming up in moments on Sterling. Every damn night.
Florida stories. It's the wildest, weirdest, stupidest, grossest, funniest, sexiest stories from Florida. I'm James Parker. Florida Stories is coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Button yourself up.
Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Lesbians in space.
I have a lot of friends that are like in their 30s that come up to me and they're like, oh, I think I'm a lesbian now. I think I'm a lesbian. It's like you had a lemon drop shot and you kissed your friend. That is not a lesbian.
Happy Thanksgiving from Sterling Every Damn Night.
All right, look at that. You and I are live coast to coast, Sterling Every Damn Night, escaping the relatives. That is the key to happiness. The way to really get to know somebody is to spend a night in their house. You spend a night in their apartment, all filters are off. You find out what the rules are about going into their refrigerator. Ooh.
Don't touch Alan's jelly.
I caught hell for 6 hours because I ate somebody's very special peanut butter, their unique peanut butter that was only for them. It was very expensive just for them. I'm like, what? You know what? It was Smucker's Natural. That was the very expensive special peanut butter that he ate and bought just for him. Smucker's Natural. That was his unique peanut butter that I should not touch. Shouldn't be anywhere near. I'm like, ay, ay, ay. And then there are the rules about the washer. I used the washing machine. Why didn't you put it in with our load? What was the problem there exactly? Oh, I used electricity. And then this always gets me because none of my friends are Japanese. I happen to have some friends who are Chinese, but I have no friends who are Japanese. Take your shoes off. What are you doing walking around here with the shoes on? Yeah, you want me to take my shoes off every time I come into the house? Oh, for God's sakes, yes. Really? Well, these are the same people who have dogs. Now, their dogs go out. They dig dirt in the filthy tree beds where there's poop from many other dogs, and they walk around in that, and they walk around in the park. They don't have wingtip shoes on. They don't have slippers on. They just walk around. Then they come back into the apartment or the house, and what happens? All of that stuff from the tree bed is all over the house, and that's okay. But I'm not allowed, after wiping my feet, I'm not allowed to come in with my shoes on. These are disturbing things. I take off my coat. I throw it on a chair.
Why don't you here, let me give you a hanger to hang that up.
What?
No, why don't you just hang it up in the closet?
And again, it's like, oh, for God's sakes, how many kindergarten rules am I going to have to deal with on this particular journey? And of course, don't use those dishes. Don't use those cups. Don't use those glasses. Those are for X, whatever it is, company, not company, special occasions, Christmas only, whatever it is, I have broken the rules. Have you had these experiences when you spend a night? Did I say a month? No, I said a night in someone else's house. You spend a night in my house, you do whatever you want. I don't care what you do. You eat what you want, drink what you want. It's totally up to you. I want you to view this as whatever it takes to make you comfortable. Then, the temperature for me, and this is me, it's always too hot, and I'll try to open a window, and it never opens. Anytime I've tried to open a window in somebody else's home's bedroom, it will not open. And if it does open, if it does start to open, from way over there, way down the hall, I'll hear, what are you doing?
Opening the window.
No, that window's broken. Don't open it. It could fall apart. It could fall down onto the people below us. No.
Whatever I do, that's how it's going to go. That's how it's going to go. And then the complexity in other people's homes of using the shower. I've been in some homes where the shower is a high math problem. One of those showers that has two or three rotating knobs in one spot. They're in one circle. They're in one fixture. It's not a hot and a cool, cold. No, no, no. It's two or three silver knobs that are completely unidentified that I'm supposed to just keep spinning like a casino, like roulette. It's shower roulette. Hot water roulette. I'm just supposed to keep spinning it because the design of this faucet was so incredibly fascinating to the man or woman who designed this bathroom. They had to preserve the integrity of the original palazzo from which this entire estate was copied and has its own website. No, really. and I'm supposed to spin this around and turn it this way, and I can never get that right. Please give me two faucets, one that says hot, one that says cold, and I'll figure it out. You give me one of those center faucets, but I'm not talking about one of those center faucets where you turn it one way and it's cold, the other way and it's hot. That would be a blessing. I've been in ones that have two or three or four knobs in that circle that I'm supposed to negotiate in order to take a shower. An hour later, I'll let you know. Oh, it's... And then, you know, if I ask, and I have asked, I've asked the host, well, how the hell do you set this shower? Oh, George set it up. He's not here this weekend. Well, don't you know how to run your shower? Our shower is different than that. That's the guest shower. What? Yeah, that's the guest shower. I'm sorry. I don't know how that works either. All right. My name's Walter M. Sterling. It's a live radio show. We're following the snowstorm, Sterling, every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Live, Sterling, every damn Sunday, live.
Happy Thanksgiving.
From Sterling, every damn night.
7 past the hour, 11:07 on the East Coast, 8:07 on the West Coast. Are you impressed by my instant capability to subtract the number 3 from the equation? It was amazing how I was able to go 11:07 on the East Coast, 8:07 on the West Coast, like an actual radio guy. Walter M. Sterling, every damn night. If you vaguely enjoy this, you can hear me every night on the Audacy app, AUDACY, stupid name, Audacy app, on WPHT. I'm on WPHT in Philadelphia. That's the base station from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And here I am from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And what did I want to tell you? There was so much I wanted to tell you, and then the mic went on, and it all vanished. It all disappeared. But no, what was that about? And that about? And that, oh, listen. There's this guy. You would have hated this guy in high school. You would have hated him probably in general if he was hanging around any women you know. His name is Scooter Braun. And Scooter was the head of the label, the record label that was Taylor Swift's first label, which, oh, by the way, had a little to do with Disney. But no one likes to bring that up. And, oh, gee, her dad was on the board of directors of that label, Big Machine Records, which I think was partly owned by Disney. Big Machine Records. But her father was on the board, probably still is. When she whines about how she was screwed, really, your dad screwed you? I don't think so. I don't think he did that. I think that Big Machine Record made a lot of money in that transaction, which means her dad made a lot of money, which means she made a lot of money, and then she went to a new label and made a lot of money. So she double-dipped on her own catalog, which is great. This is the first person in 50 years since the advent of most record labels where an artist did really well. Good for you, Taylor. But now Scooter, he left the label and he left his wife. He turned 40 and he had a midlife crisis. And now who's he dating? Sydney Sweeney. Somehow or another, this tool is dating Sydney Sweeney. And the reason I say you wouldn't like him if you met him is because he's a handsome guy. You know, he's one of those guys who looks really good in a t-shirt, just a plain white tee. He looks really good in a t-shirt, and he's got that 1,000-watt smile. You got to hate him on sight. Now, listen, he was a talent manager who got a divorce, but you have to hear about this divorce. He had three kids, Jagger, they're named Jagger, Levi, and Hart. Jagger, Levi, and Hart. And when did they get a divorce? When did he get a divorce? After 7 years of marriage. And now he's married to Yael Cohn. I think it's pronounced Yael. Y-A-E-L. Is it Yael? Yael Cohn. With whom he shares Jagger, Levi, and Hart. And they shared both, and he says both he and his wife. Now he's saying this. She isn't confirming it. He's saying both he and his wife contributed to this marriage not working. I don't want to go into detail because I have a lot of respect. He doesn't say we have a lot of respect for. I have a lot of respect. He doesn't want to go into detail. We're family forever. It goes both ways. It's not like there was one thing happening. Both people have to play a role in where things get to go. Things happen both ways. Things happen both ways. He keeps saying things happen both ways.
I don't want to go into details. I have a lot of respect.
Yeah.
We're family forever. It goes both ways. It's not like there was one thing happening. Both people have to play a role in where we got to. You know, things happen on, you know, both ways. However, Chris Rock says something really special. He goes, relationships are actually quite easy. You know, you ever try to pick up a couch with two people? No problem. Pick up a couch by yourself. And that was the thing. We both went to pick up the couch at different times.
What? Well, you're running a movie company? You're not just running a label? You're running a movie company? What an a-hole. He doesn't say she agrees with me. He has decided what both sides did in this marriage. And then he says, I also didn't know who I was. I think I was happy because everyone in the world told me I was doing great. And I thought that was enough. Looking back now, I feel like I was asleep at the wheel. I feel like I didn't know myself at the time. But I had so much success at such a young age. So everyone was telling me I was doing great. So I just chose to believe them. It wasn't until the foundation broke and there was nothing underneath it when I was like, oh, actually, I'm not happy. I wouldn't go back to that. Before all that crap in a million years, I want to stay here because now I'm awake. Now, then he says something that's really insane. He has marriage advice. Scooter Braun. You want Scooter Braun marriage advice? You ready? Go on vacation together. There's something that we forgot to do. We did the vacations with the kids. We did the vacations with friends. But we didn't go on vacation together because we had 3 kids in 5 years, and I think that's something to think about. No, you see, when you have kids, you don't get to go on vacation by yourself. You might steal a weekend every 2 years, but you're not going away for 2 or 3 weeks when you've got 5, 7, 8-year-olds. They're not going to let you. They'll never recover. They'll be traumatized by being away from you for a week or two. You might be able to get a weekend in New England, Scooter, but you're not going to go to Bermuda for 2 weeks. You're not going to go to the Palazzo in Italy for 2 weeks, Scooter. That isn't going to be happening now that you have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old named Levi, and another one named Hart. That just isn't the way it works out. But he said something else that was really quite something. Let's see if I can find it here. Oh, this is the most arrogant thing possible. Listen to this. Listen to what Scooter Braun says about his future. And now his future is with Sydney Sweeney, who, by the way, wants a record deal, just so we all understand the deal. Quote, now whoever gets me next is in for a treat because I'm a better version than I was before. You're a better version than you were before, but before you were unhappy, dishonest, and you ran away from the obligation you made with your wife. And, quote, the kids aren't very happy about this. The kids aren't very happy about it. This, I believe, and I'm right, that unless there's abuse, one of them is a drunk or a drug addict or somebody's getting hit, unless there's abuse, you stick it out. you made a pledge that said you're going to stick at this forever. And the primary reason for that pledge is for those kids, even if you're annoying every day. And one of the things I have said to my three daughters to torture them is every now and then I'll look at them and say, now you have to understand, your mother and I are never getting a divorce. We are never getting a divorce because our mission is to always keep an eye on you. We're never going to stop watching you. We're always going to know everything you're doing at all times, just so you have a very clear perspective on your future. My name is Walter M. Sterling. I've got a live phone line, and I want to talk to you. I've covered a lot of things, and I expect a lot of response because this is the joy and the magic of radio. You ever see television try to take live phone calls? Disaster. Newspaper? That won't be happening. But this is radio, and we're very good at taking phone calls, and I'm good at talking to you. I'll say things like, what? 855-839-1210. That is my phone number. Call. And Sean will answer, and he'll be very nervous. I don't know. I don't have enough time. I got to do this. 855-839-1210. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
The people of Walmart Sterling every damn night.
Sex drive's a big deal. How we're wired to reproduce sometimes is a complex undertaking. Take one Jason J. Ruggs, 32, of Lawrence, Massachusetts. He went into a neighborhood Walmart in Chelmsford, Massachusetts on a Friday morning and promptly dropped trow. Apparently it was, he was showing his special purpose. To all sorts of folks, whoever wanted to see it, a tremendous leader came forth. Yes, one of the associates chased out this guy, according to cops. Disturbing incident, understandably caused alarm among employees and customers. The police department responded quickly, worked together, and effectively apprehended the suspect without further risk to the public. And making sure he's wearing his pants. And according to the Chelmsford Police Department, they want to extend their thanks to the soror staff for their cooperation, awareness, and assistance during the incident. Remember, the new CEO of Walmart, the largest corporation in the world, started out as an associate, part-time associate. Worked his way up from the bottom to the top. But feeling these associates are go-getters, on their way to becoming managers and being leaders in that wonderful corporation. See somebody, dropping trow in the, in the middle of the bra section? Leave. Just walk out. Not good. Pointing and laughing ain't gonna help. Pointing and laughing. Unless, of course, they have that thing that Jeffrey Epstein does. Then laugh all you want. If you don't know what that is, hit the Google. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling every damn night.
Feel the dough, eat the dough, J.B. Bakery, Salina and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
23 past the hour, Walter M. Sterling. There's Father Jim Drucker and Steve from J.B. Bakery and Selena from J.B. Bakery. Now, Father Jim Drucker does not have any time to actually talk to us because he's in the cold, changing cars, don't quite understand that. What are you doing, Father Drucker? What are you doing?
I have brought my car from McGuire Air Force Base, my Lincoln MKZ, to be tended to by Michael Claven, wonderful man that he is, to put new shock absorbers on here in Warren, Ohio. So I'm changing to the loaner car so he can start working on it tomorrow morning right away. I love you, and it's so great to be on with you. Steve and Selena, break a leg and have a great show. I love you all. I'm getting cold. God bless.
Go get warm, Father Drucker. There's no upside in torturing a Catholic priest. There's Steve, who has given us, get this, hot chocolate cookie recipe. A hot chocolate cookie recipe. If you want his hot chocolate cookie recipe in just seconds, I'll tell you how to get it. Now, J.B. Bakery, a small retail business that I'm fascinated by because I have tremendous respect for anybody who makes a living as a retailer, running a business. One of the statistics that's grossly underreported is that the vast majority of Americans work in businesses with fewer than 10 employees. They don't work at Apple. They don't work at General Motors. They work at businesses, retail businesses, accounting firms, consulting firms, dentist offices, medical practices with fewer than 10 employees. This is America. This is who we are. What is the hardest thing, Stephen, about managing a small workforce in a confined space with your girlfriend?
I believe it has to do with having a lot of patience with everything. So that being said, like during the holidays, it's very busy. There's a lot of customers. There's a lot more product than usual. There's a limited amount of space. This pretty much goes for any retail during whatever busy season they are. And actually, it's the employees that I have to keep managing and keep an eye on everything, every little detail. I mean, I could even tell you about a story that I had with a customer during Thanksgiving. You'd like to hear that.
Yes, tell me.
Okay, so a woman comes into the bakery because she's having Thanksgiving dinner before Thanksgiving. Wants apple pie. She actually looked like the woman from Goonies. She looked exactly like the woman from Goonies. And I was trying not to laugh. So, but she had a nice demeanor about her. But she actually was very straightforward. She's like, I came in for an apple pie, and I got a cherry pie. I put it on the counter, and I got home to open it up and cut it, and it's a cherry pie. I want an apple. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, she grabbed the wrong pie. There's no way the pie switched at the counter. And I'm just looking at it. I was like, well, I think I know her as a regular customer. I was like, okay, I'll switch it out for you. No exchange of money, fair exchange. I'll just take back the cherry pie. I'll do something with it. And I was like, you know, I'll help you out, ma'am. So I said, go find yourself an apple pie because all the pies are clearly marked. They're clearly marked on the side. It says what flavor they are. She's looking at the top of the pie, trying to figure out in her mind what an apple pie looks like. So I watch her, and I'm watching her. She's going through all the pies, and don't you know, she keeps picking out the wrong pie. I had to go over to her and say, ma'am, it's right here on the side.
Well, that's the sort of, exactly. It says it right there on the side. Unbelievable. Thank you. Now, if you want the recipe from JB Bakery for hot chocolate cookie, send me a note, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, and I will send you the hot chocolate cookie recipe from JB Bakery immediately. It's really a remarkable, remarkable type 2 test. Selena, has he matured as a manager?
Has Steven matured as a manager?
Well, we're not talking to anyone else.
I would say so. I think he's definitely, I mean, I can say that this is the best holiday yet. I think the holidays are definitely the true test of the bakery's strength. Whether we have enough employees or too many, or if everything's organized, I think the holidays are a good time to see whether we've been successful. And this year, I think it's the best one yet. We had enough storage for all of our orders. Nothing got rained on. None of the tents blew away. So I think Stephen's gotten a lot better in the last 4 years, 5 years at just managing a large quantity of orders coming in at a time.
And does he listen to you now? Has he delegated to you properly?
I would say, you know, he's definitely gotten better at it, but then I've also gotten better at just, you know, being my typical Jersey self and just doing it anyway, just whatever I think needs to be done.
Every man needs a Jersey woman to manage things. It's JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. If you go there to JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, and you say, Sterling every damn night, you will get a free gift. Yes, that's right. You will get a free donut, or if you, like, make big eyes at them, they'll give you even more than a donut, I promise. JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and if you want that hot chocolate cookie, all you have to do is send me an email right now, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, for the hot chocolate cookie recipe.
Happy Thanksgiving from Sterling every damn night.
All right. We have this great hot chocolate cookie recipe from JB Bakery, and I'll send it to you right away. Patty S., Bonita D., Dan E., Patty and John S., Deborah B., Dennis S., R.L., just a few of the people who have already sent in a request for the hot chocolate cookie recipe from JB Bakery. You ask for it, and we'll send it to you right away. And the great thing about their recipes, they look complicated and they're not, or else I couldn't stand them. And they have like normal ingredients. You go to some of the, you ever torture yourself and watch the Great British Baking Show? I wasted many hours this weekend watching the Great British Baking Show because it's one of those shows you could start to watch and end at any given time and you lose nothing. Every time I go to like Netflix or Netscape or whatever it is, or Hulu or Apple, and I look at the movies that are available or the shows that are available, I'm like, oh, it's a lot of time I'm going to have to invest. I'll get halfway through it. Somebody will disturb me. Meanwhile, if I watch the Great British Baking Show, I can start and stop at any time. And they're brilliantly produced. We have no, they're like a casino. It's a television casino. There's no clock. We don't actually know what time of day they shoot that. We don't know when they shoot it. Wait a minute. This is the 2025 Great British Christmas Baking Show, but it's November. When did they shoot that? In July? Is that fake snow outside? Is that what they did? They made a fake snow in the fake tent? It's all very nice. And then whenever they show the recipe for fondant and you, I'm like, I can't. How the hell am I supposed to do fondant? I didn't even know that there was fondant until that guy from Jersey City started baking on TV. And that was some show. The $10,000 wedding cakes, the $10,000 cakes. What's the name of that show? I go to Hoboken to see that bakery. I'll think of it in a second. I go to Hoboken to see the bakery. My kids say, we have to go to see the bakery that's in that show, right? We go to the Hoboken to see it. I'm not kidding you. I didn't expect to see any member of that cast in the bakery. It's a small, normal bakery with apparently a very large basement. Everything they seem to do is in the basement. But most of the racks in the bakery were empty. I figured that would be an abundant bakery in Jersey City, the one featured on TV. I figured that would be an abundant bakery. Now I have to look it up. Hold on a second. I'm supposed to do a smooth show, and I do this kind of nonsense. I don't prepare these things. Abundant Bakery, Jersey City. It's Carlos, right? Jersey City, Hoboken. I'll just throw in a couple of these things. TV. Let's see what it comes up with here. Yeah, Carlos's Bakery in Hoboken. Cake Boss, sorry. Cake Boss. So I go to the Cake Boss Bakery, and it's got a great facade because they shoot that on TV. It's got to look great. But you go inside, and it's just a normal bakery, burdened with the fact that there's a line 24 hours a day to get into that bakery to get something. Well, all that was in there were cannolis, and the cannolis were average. I wanted to see some of the fancy cakes. That would have been smart, right? If they had shown us some of the fancy cakes. And what's the interesting thing about the Cake Boss cakes? They always have the same problem. They start to take it out of the bakery to take it to the van. They're going to deliver it in the van. They go to take it to get it into the van, and there's exactly one crisis in every Cake Boss show. It won't fit in the van. Who knew? It won't fit in the van. Now, you and I know the technology to measure cakes and measure vans is readily available, even in Jersey. It's readily available. But they have to make some sort of drama because if he's running a well-run bakery, they're not going to have the normal conflict. What would the normal conflict be? That somebody would argue with him. A member of the staff would argue with him. They're not going to argue with him. His name's Carlos. They're not going to argue with him. They're in Jersey. He's the boss. He's the head of the family. Nobody's going to argue with him. No, listen, Carlos, I think we should use a different level of fondant. A thinner fondant. What'd you say? Let's use a thinner fondant. What'd you say? Should we try a different fondant? What do you think about that? What do you think?
For the duration, you will give Paulie 5 carpenter jobs. 2 no-shows and 3 no-works. One of the no-shows our friend in Youngstown keeps, and one he gives to Chrissy here. The others, the no-work jobs, that's for Paulie, how he wants to distribute them.
It is so decreed.
It's called Cake Boss. No one's going to argue with the boss in Jersey. It's just not done. And he's clean as a whistle. I'm not insinuating anything. I'm just saying he's the boss in Jersey. And the gestalt of the culture in New Jersey is that you don't argue with the boss. Bruce Springsteen, he's called the boss. There's a reason. He's from Jersey. It's a very simple and clear hierarchy in the state of New Jersey. Someone is in charge. That's the person in charge. Saves time and trouble. But that eliminates the conflict that you need in a TV show. There needs to be trouble. There needs to be teenage daughter, father's a doctor, new boyfriend walks in, new boyfriend has a leather jacket, boom, conflict, laughter, commercial. Doesn't happen on Cake Boss. On Cake Boss, everybody goes, yeah, okay, that sounds good. I'll mix it for 20 hours, no problem. Yeah, that's good. The fondant is very difficult to put on, but it's not a problem, boss. I'm happy to do it. That's the whole show. And then do we get a taste of it? No. Nor do we get to find out the price. And you see, the smartest thing about the home improvement shows is in the past few years, they've started to show the price of the new kitchen, the price of the new flooring, the price of the new carpeting. It makes it much more interesting and legit and far beyond our reach. No, I don't need a new sofa. I don't need a new carpet. I don't need to know about subfloors. I never wanted to know about subfloors, and there we are in Home and Garden TV teaching me all about subfloors. But then again, you watch any one of the finance shows, you know, any one of the finance shows, and you're going to learn about... what was I going to say? I don't remember. I got to have more coffee. Anyway, so about Cake Boss. So there isn't the normal conflict. That's the thing. It makes it kind of dull. So I'm watching The Great Baking Show. And I'm like, I really can't do that. I don't know how that's going to be happening. I watch it. And then we never get to taste it. There's no way that we can actually understand that recipe that has Scottish ingredients. And more interesting than that, we don't know how much those cakes would cost. And that's the thing about Carlos's bakery and Cake Boss. I want to know how much of those cakes boss. So I did some homework about how much do the Cake Boss cakes cost. And you're looking at 10 grand. You're starting at 10 grand for cakes that don't fit into the van. And the best thing about Cake Boss is when they have cakes that are electrified, when there are little lights that light up, right? Those are very interesting. That they have lights for $10,000 and fondant. They have so much apparichnik with those cakes, you wonder, is the cake any good? When you watch Cake Boss, don't you kind of wonder, is the cake any good? And then when you watch the Great British Baking Show, you see two sort of overweight judges eating a teaspoon each. And I always wonder, well, they're eating 5 different cakes, 7 different cakes, variety of flavors. Doesn't that screw up their palate? What do they do between? These are all the things that I worry about. What do you worry about? 855-839-1210, Shark Tank. On Shark Tank.
Stirring every night. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets his guy.
on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective. A madman went on a chaotic joyride through Brooklyn Sunday afternoon after allegedly stealing a FedEx truck and crashing it into multiple vehicles and a church fence before attempting to hijack an ambulance, according to authorities. Dominique Bullock allegedly hopped into a parked FedEx truck outside Carroll Street in Park Slope and shoved its 25-year-old driver out of the vehicle about 2:25 p.m., according to the police. Bullock, 32 years old, then allegedly sped off eastbound on Carroll Street and smashed into a stationary 2012 Mercedes-Benz SUV parked a few doors down the street. He kept going and rear-ended a yellow 2024 taxi, stopped at a red light at Carroll Street. He then plowed into a nearby church fence, causing damage, according to cops. But it was far from over when Bullock then ditched the truck and decided to take off on foot. But he bizarrely returned to the crash scene and attempted to climb into a New York Presbyterian Hospital ambulance that responded to the wreck that to the crash he allegedly created. Bullock then tried to operate the ambulance, but was unsuccessful and was quickly taken into custody by cops. Now, he was charged with robbery, attempted grand larceny auto, reckless driving, and criminal mischief, and the kicker, leaving the scene of an accident. Thank goodness no injuries were reported in this wild carjacking. You know, it's funny. When I was a detective in the auto crime division, we were driving around in the Hunts Point section of the Bronx, and it came over the division radio that a worker had stolen his ambulette van. It was, you know, to shuttle people to and from nursing homes. He'd become drunk, pissed off at his boss, and stole the ambulette. So we were driving around on the underbelly of the Bruckner Expressway. We see this ambulette. We put on the lights and sirens, and the guy takes off on us. Now, you're not going to get too far away driving one of those big, goofy ambulettes. It was like the slowest chase I was ever in. It was like a 30-mile-an-hour chase until finally he just ran out of gas or decided to give up. And we took him out of the car, and he's crying, and he wants a raise, and he was drunk. So what ended up happening is the van went back to the company. We charged him with grand theft auto and drunk driving and reckless endangerment for driving through Hunts Point during business hours. He could have killed somebody. I mean, it was a 30-mile-an-hour chase, but granted, the guy was going through lights and driving up on the sidewalks. Like I've often said, when the police put their lights on, just pull over to the side. You're just making a bad situation worse. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Behind the Blue Wall of Silence. Sterling.
Sterling every damn night. Sterling across the USA. All right, it's 53 minutes past the hour. Doug C., Marsha R., Judy T., Patty S., Bonita D., Bonita. We're sending out the JB Bakery recipe for hot chocolate cookies. This is perfect for tonight. This is exactly how to end the weekend without having to deal with relatives. Shark Tank taught us what co-packers are. You and I would never know what a co-packer was if it wasn't for the Prophet, that annoying guy, the Prophet, and Shark Tank. Guy, you know, we learned everything. Lori Grenier taught us about, did you get a co-packer? Have you gotten a co-packer? You and I had no idea what a co-packer was. Thank God for Shark Tank to teach us what a co-packer is. And then it always seems very scary, like, if you and I invented a recipe that was spectacular and we had zillions of them being sold and we had to get someone else to do the baking, how the hell would we find a co-packer? Do we live near a co-packer? Do you know a co-packer? Of course not. Do you know anyone who works for a co-packer? Of course not. I think those are the most secretive industries in America. They have to be secretive because they're making the product under someone else's label. And the someone else doesn't want anybody to know that they're using a co-packer. Well, there's no co-packer here. Daryl A., Doug C., Marsha R., all of you are going to get your hot chocolate cookie recipe in just seconds from JB Bakery. The thing I like about the JB Bakery recipes, besides the fact that they're almost easy, is he has really good illustrations. That's the other interesting thing about the Great British Baking Show. They have those interesting animations of the recipe. Like, I thought it was a surprise. They brought in their own recipes, but then some graphic artist got the recipe ahead of time. Oh, and it's a TV show. It's all pretend. Who's kidding who? And how come they have all of those ingredients in that tent? The most exotic and bizarre. Yes, I'll be using tarragon imported from Brunei. I'm using Brunei tarragon. Not just Canadian tarragon. I'm using Brunei, and they have Brunei tarragon. And they have cinnamon from the South Pacific, and cinnamon which is different from the North Pole. Like, how did they have all of these ingredients in one tent? Nothing there seems that improvised to me. But what's interesting is when they go to put together their cakes on the Great British Baking Show, very often the cakes fall apart. That gives me hope that the show is actually real. But the graphics are interesting because those graphics aren't easy. When they show the animation of the recipe and how it all comes together, that probably takes the most work of that show. But then how do we know that the judges are telling the truth? And each of them has their own flavor palette. There are things they just don't like anyway. If they're in that recipe, that person's never going to win. And it's always the weirdest person who seems to win. Granted, not many of us would have a full week to devote to creating a TV show. I think those shoots take a week. And then they're in the middle of nowhere. It's all very confusing to me about the Great British Baking Show. The Great British Baking Show. Anyway, if you want the hot chocolate cookie recipe, no problem. Send me an email right now, waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com, and I will be happy to send it to you right away. It's nice. It's easy to follow. It's from JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Oh, my gosh, I've never worked so hard. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Sterling every night, lost in space. Mission control.
There's Dave Scott, a known Canadian and expert on all things metaphysical, UFOs, time portals. And now there's this big special out on disclosure about UFOs. And finally, we might get some answers. And then apparently there are actual real doctors saying they've interviewed non-human entities. Dave, please fill us in on all of this very important information.
Well, it comes from a movie called The Age of Disclosure by famed movie director Dan Farah. And with that happening, he has interviewed 34 different people, from scientists to government officials and everything to go on in between, about trying to figure out whether or not this phenomena is real or not, whether the United States government is holding on to UFOs and alien bodies or not. Rotten Tomatoes seems to be giving it a little bit of a hard time, with only about a 36% approval rating, but there's about a 98% hand-clapping rating, because they've been actually farming out approvals from the UFO community to make their rating look better. I don't know if that's actually working or not. I still have not seen it, because it's not available in Canada on Amazon just yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. And if the United States government does have alien bodies and UFOs, it is something that should be cause for concern. Because, Walter, what else do they know? Do they know that the alien abduction phenomena is real? Do they have a list of people who've been taken? So far, the way this is going, and I said this on my show the other night, that it's like they keep building that outside row of the puzzle, you know, the frame of the puzzle, to build inside. And for the last 8 years, that's all they've been doing, is showing us how they got the frame of the puzzle. It's time to start putting the pieces in the middle together.
Dave Scott, known Canadian, host of Spaced Out Radio, that you can hear every episode of on YouTube. Dave, I'm sure you have other things that you wanted to bring up tonight, and I look forward to hearing them, as does America.
Well, I do have something a little personal that I want to share with you tonight, Walter, and I hope you don't mind. It's an anniversary for me tonight. Tonight is officially the starting year 11 of Spaced Out Radio.
Congratulations. That's a very big deal. And it's because it's a very good show. That's why. And you can hear it on YouTube. Search Spaced Out Radio. You can hear every episode of Spaced Out Radio. Share with us some of the highlights of the past 11 years where you sit back, you get off the air, and you say, that was a good show.
Well, I think some of the highlights that I've had over the years are from regular people who've had experiences. I think of a great story of an alien abductee named Karina Seibels. And the reason why this story really intrigued me was because it happened about 15 miles from my home. And not my home here where I am now, but from where I grew up. And one night she goes out to have a cigarette. Her boyfriend follows her. And he goes back inside, and she calls him back out because as she's having her cigarette, she actually sees a black triangle up in the sky of Alder Grove, British Columbia. She then calls her boyfriend out. He looks up. He sees it. He's not really into the UFO thing. So after a couple of minutes, he walks inside, and she ends up saying, well, I'm going to stay outside. I want to see what this thing does. I want to see where it goes. 4 hours later, her boyfriend comes outside and says, where have you been? She goes, I've been standing right here watching this UFO. He goes, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You have not been gone. I've been out looking for you. I've been looking around the roads. I darn near called the police. Where have you been? She goes, I've been right here. And it's not 2 o'clock in the morning. It's just a few minutes after nine. And they argued about it until she saw the clock saying 2 o'clock in the morning.
Did you believe her?
She was gone. Well, she then believed that. And when I interviewed her, Walter, I did believe her because she then started getting visions and waking up in the middle of the night to alien grays in her room. She eventually moved out of town and moved into the interior of British Columbia, where the aliens then started taking her daughters and eventually her grandchildren. So, turns out to be a very scary story.
Do you believe her?
I do. I do. There was no exaggeration in her voice. There was no exaggeration about the phenomena or what she went through. And this is very common for a lot of people who claim to have some sort of alien contact.
And have you found yourself in a situation, which I have found myself, where you're halfway through an interview and the person is all credibility, author, the whole shebang, and halfway through your BS meter goes off and you go, I don't believe them. I just don't believe them. What do you do then?
See, when you're dealing with people, that's a complicated question because I have run into that. But I try to keep an open mind on the show, basically because I've never stood in that person's shoes. But I have had guests where you could tell where they are exaggerating. You know, I had this guy claiming he could summon UFOs, and he summoned a UFO down and showed me the video, and it was a video of a street lamp. A 23-second video of a street lamp. And Walter, to my journalistic integrity, I did an entire two-hour show on this street lamp UFO, and I started having a little fun. I'm like, did the aliens inappropriately touch you? Did they take pictures of you? Did they do things? How do you know you don't have missing time? And I knew the guy was BSing me because he kept telling me that he had a trigonometry scientist, which there is no such thing, that was reviewing his video who said it was real. But nevertheless, it was a street light.
Was it like a really cool street light, or was it just a normal street light?
It was one of those street lights that is like in a dark, dingy area by like a, you know, like some sort of warehouse. It was like a warehouse streetlight. So it was one of those unattractive ones. It's not one of those ones that actually looks like the city put some effort into. But I've had a lot of really cool guests over time and a lot of really cool quotes from people who worked for the U.S. government to people who worked for the Canadian government, from eyewitness accounts of people who have had encounters with UFOs, ghosts, demons, and everything in between. And the one thing that I've always said is I've never stood in their shoes. I'm trying to keep an open mind because I can't sit there and say that's someone's experience. This is because I don't believe it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
The one interview that I've done a couple of times that I'm annoyed at myself that I didn't ask the next layer of questions. I had on a NASA space station payload expert, an officer in the Air Force, and she's retired. And I said to her, why haven't we gone back to the moon? And she said, well, we can't. The booster rockets have all been sold off and taken apart. The land where the rocket pads were has been sold. And all of the plans have been taken home by various scientists over the years, various executives. They're in people's basements and da-da-da. And I let it go. Because I asked her twice, two different shows. I asked her, why haven't we gone back to them? And that's what she said. And she was so convincing and so sincere. And I liked her so much that I'm like, oh, okay. And what? The plans to go to the moon that took us 10 years of blood and sweat, the plans to go to the moon are people's basements, and we can't, like, kind of figure that, and there are no backups, there are no photocopies made of these plans? I didn't ask any of those questions. I'm still haunted by this.
And there are times I've been haunted by that, too, over the years. You know, whether it was interviewing Luis Elizondo, who ran the UFO ATIP program at the Pentagon, or whether it was asking David Politis about missing people. You know, you get these incredible people who are researchers. And a lot of people tend to think, Walter, that with what I do, I just throw anybody on the air. We actually vet them in order to try and get what their real story is. And these people, there are so many scientists and so many ex-police officers and FBI agents who are investigating these extraordinary claims after they've left what they've been doing in their high-profile positions, that they say there's something out there. There's something real. People are vanishing without a trace. They don't know where they're going. I shared with you a couple weeks ago about a fighter pilot who was intercepted by a UFO over, I believe it was Lake Superior. Where did this happen? Where did that pilot go? They've never found his craft in the lake. He just vanished. And people are doing that in certain places. And we're going to have to get into missing people here very, very quickly because it's astonishing how many people there are.
Yeah, let's do that this week. This is Dave Scott, host of Spaced Out Radio. Now, you're also marketing a T-shirt with my image and likeness on it. How does a Midnight Misfit get that T-shirt?
If you want to get your special Midnight Misfits, Walter M. Sterling flying the UFO with Sterling Every Damn Night written on the UFO, you can go to spacedoutradio.com/shop. Just scroll through my images. You'll eventually find it there. You can order it, and it'll be delivered to you by Christmas.
Sterling Every Damn Sunday Night.
Lesbians in Space.
Guys, I don't know what to do. I like made friends with this girl and now I have a huge crush on her and I don't really think that she's into women and it's gonna be like hard for me to like hang out with her because of my crush and like I don't want to make her feel uncomfortable either, so like I feel weird like telling her that and I don't really know what to do. She's probably gonna see this and that's really also embarrassing.
Say the toughest job in the world is being a mother. You know, staying at home with the Rugrats. You know, watching cartoons and making grilled cheeses. And while that is a tough job, reaching a next generation of humanity,
The toughest job in the world probably is at the Gold Club on Old Pineville Road in Charlotte, South Charlotte. Yeah, it was a bad night for a couple of wonderful men who were guarding our ladies. And it was a tough night. A man has been charged with the shooting outside of a club. Larry Graham Jr., 38, Brandon McLean, 38, are accused of starting a fight that led to a shooting outside that club. Yeah, Graham is charged with robbery with a dangerous weapon, conspiracy to commit robbery, and just simple assault. Simple! I realize that assault can be simple, but yes, it can. Yes, it can. Court documents say that Graham allegedly instigated altercations with another customer, punched one unidentified patron in the face. When a bouncer and the general manager attempted to intervene, Graham allegedly pulled out his gat, punched the manager in the face, and shot somebody. It happens. Strip clubs after midnight, never that much of a safe place. Testosterone, booze, and girls, that leads to all sorts of problems. Graham and McLean, they are held in Mecklenburg County Jail with a $750,000 bond for Graham. And McLean, he's held without bond. The gentlemen who guard our ladies, and quite frankly, deserve to be treated with respect, just like we would do for veterans who have gone to war. The men and women who are general managers and bouncers, notice I'm no sexist here on Sterling Every Damn Night, we believe that they need to be treated with respect, just like a police officer with a badge. The bouncer at the strip club is the law. From the champagne room with a black eye, I'm Velo Hool, Strippers on the Loose, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Happy Thanksgiving.
From Sterling Every Damn Night.
Well, congratulations on escaping the gravitational pull of your relatives. It was a always difficult experience for me because here's this weird move that all my relatives do. I mean, this is just really weird. They never ask me about this show, and they never have listened. They imagine it's something else. They imagine it's screaming at the Democrats, and I suspect a number of them are Democrats, notably the one who's a producer for MS Now. Oh, yes, you remember it was MSNBC, but now it's MS Now with a much better graphic logo. Their logo looks much better to me. But, gosh, I have to drink some water now. Jesus. Yes. And, but I was at my sister-in-law was talking about somebody she knows who is related to one of those whistleblowers about UFOs, related in a profound way. And I said, can you get her to come on my show? Would you ask her to come on my show? No. That fast. Now, she's never heard my show. She doesn't know if her friend has ever heard my show. She doesn't know anything about my show. But, well, you know, she's a documentary. She makes documentaries. She was interviewed on 60 Minutes. I'm like, no, I didn't ask you to book her. I just said, would you ask her if she would? And, oh, by the way, this show is not what you think. She thinks it's some Democrat bashing show, which clearly it's not. This is just a goofy show that talks about water in the basement, because that's what you and I actually care about, is water in the basement. That's what we talk about. But I love talking about UFO things, and I want to know somebody's close to it. I'd love to have that story. Wouldn't that be fun to listen to? No. And I looked at her, and I'm so taken aback by this sudden no. Not an ease out of it, not a, I don't know if she'd be comfortable, why don't you ask? I couldn't get a word out about it. No. And I looked at her, I said, well, I would do it for you. And there is the heart of my problem with my relatives. all of my relatives, my brother and sister, the sister-in-laws, thousands of other drunken relatives. My problem is that I would do X for them just because. Same thing with friends in the business. If a friend in the business asked me for a favor, I would just do it because, listen carefully, Mike, because I know nothing really matters. I know nothing's a big deal. You want something? I can do something for you? Of course. I'm happy to do it. No problem. That's what we're here for. And it's not some corny way. It's what we do for each other. We help each other. It's the best gift I can be given is a request for help. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Happy Thanksgiving from Sterling every damn night.
All right, now listen, I'm going to tell you something that I'm specifically stating for the sake of creating envy. Ready? I go to see my in-laws who live in Ohio. Don't ask. If I had married correctly, my in-laws would be living in Northern California, even Los Angeles, San Diego, Boca Raton. That's where your in-laws are supposed to live. No, mine live in Ohio, but I posted this on Facebook. You can see it yourself. Gas, $2.26 a gallon. $2.26 a gallon in Northeast Ohio. Imagine that. $2.26 in Northeast Ohio for a gallon of gas. Yes. And in their Walmart, the eggs were $2.50, right? Milk was $2.85 a gallon of milk. Yeah, that's what I said. A gallon of milk, $2.85. And and then you go, wow, why is it so cheap there? Because there's no other reason to live there. Nobody would stay there if it wasn't the cheapest place on earth to live. Nobody. There's nothing there. It is a desert of nothingness. What about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And that's the problem. There are isolated islands of stuff. The Rock Hall of Fame, Cleveland Museum of Art, Cleveland Museum of Modern Art, Guardians, a terrible name. The Guardians, oh, and the Browns. How much did the Browns lose by today? They lost today, right? I'm just guessing. But they lost. I assume they lost. That's what they do. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I want to congratulate you for escaping your relatives. Now, we mentioned before about Scooter Braun, very annoying man who used to run Big Machine Records, Taylor Swift's label, and now he's loose. He's on the loose, and therefore he's dating Sydney Sweeney. And it's good that he doesn't have a job because I'm guessing that dating Sydney Sweeney is very much a full-time job. Now, here's this columnist for the New York Times, which is annoying in itself. She wrote a successful column about love and relationship called The Bastard on the Couch, The Bitch on the Couch. What was the name of their column? But those were their books, and their books were very successful. This woman, all done. Her name is Kathy Hanauer. Kathy Hanauer. She's been separated from her husband for a few years. He's a journalist, Daniel Jones. They're both 63, and they've been together for like 30 years, and then they get a divorce. Prior to their wedding, she felt anxious about a life of monogamy with Jones, but that she was convinced by her spouse, her ex-spouse, to say the traditional forsaking all others in the wedding vows. She was debating her wedding vows before she got married. The part that she was mostly arguing about was the line that said, forsaking all others. She didn't want to deal with that in the wedding. But that is the wedding vow. That is the point of the wedding vow. that you'll forsake all others. The couple raised two children in a million-dollar home in Northampton, of course. Their relationship came under strain after their offspring left home for college. They had emptiness syndrome. She wrote three novels and a best-selling book. And she said at the end there was a distance between them. They ultimately split after unsuccessful relationship counseling. Listen to this. We hugged, apologized for our shortcomings, and freed each other. Oh, believe me, if I get a divorce, it isn't going to end by looking at each other and saying, we're freeing each other, she wrote in her opinion piece. She writes about her divorce in an opinion piece in the Times. She had to write about it in an opinion piece in the Times, and they had to run it. A bunch of loons. She insisted that the separation was not a sign that their marriage had failed, but instead marked a natural and healthy end after decades of happiness. No, your marriage failed. It marked a healthy end to decades of happiness. Well, if you had decades of happiness, you just shut up and you continue. That's what marriage is. You just shut up and you put up with it. And you figure out how to make it happy. Best-selling author known for writing about relationships, separated from her husband of 30 years. But get this. Separated from her husband. She's a successful author. She writes books. She writes columns. She makes money. But he still pays for her life insurance and provides her with money, cash, stipend. The kids aren't home. He still pays for her life insurance, probably $3,000-$4,000 a quarter, and a monthly stipend. He just gives her some money. He just gives her some money so she'll go away. She says that she's had a number of dates. She's had the thrill of dating as a single woman. Meanwhile, the guy has a new girlfriend with whom she says, Hanauer says, they get along great. But she also revealed that she and Jones have not formally divorced. They haven't divorced. They haven't really separated. Don't give me crap. They're dating. She said the couple has managed to strike an agreement without lawyers that feels fair to both of us. Well, you haven't divorced. She justified her reliance on her ex by saying the writing that they did together helped boost Jones's career too. Wow. Bunch of phonies. Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday night.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Thank you.
I remember when there was the big Bitcoin Twitter hack where some prominent profiles of very famous people, we're talking Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, just some of the names who were hacked with a message saying, if you donate some money to this Bitcoin account, I'll spend $2 at whatever cause. And it was scary stuff to know that someone was so powerful that they could commandeer the Twitter accounts of all these very influential people. And was it the Chinese Communist Party? Was it state-sponsored Russian hackers? Was it a team of Iranian scientists under the direction of the Ayatollahs? Nah, it was a 17-year-old boy from Tampa. That's right. It wasn't Kim Jong-un trying to start World War III. It's a teenager in Florida, of course. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to hop over to the Miami area where the lockdowns from the coronavirus have hit small businesses pretty hard. A lot of small businesses have applied for loans from the government through the stimulus programs. One 29-year-old Florida man made a boatload of fraudulent loans. Most of them got rejected. One of them was asking for $13.5 million in PPP loans. And the federal government's not stupid. They're not going to give him $13.5 million for a company he just made up with a bunch of fraudulent paperwork that he just hacked out on his computer. No, they gave him $3.9 million. And he would have got away with it, except for someone complained when they saw a 29-year-old loser driving around in a brand new 2020 Lamborghini Huracan. How much does your car cost, the one that you're driving? Well, if you want to walk off the lot with one of these, it's $318,000. Smart enough to defraud the feds of millions of dollars, but dumb enough to get caught because you're driving a Lambo. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
All right, for our last Florida story, to the Tampa area. It's actually a little town called Safety Harbor, where we have a young couple, a 29-year-old flight attendant and a 34-year-old bartender slash fitness instructor. By the way, if you're this guy, you're 34 years old, do you have any better combination of occupations to pick up women than being a simultaneous bartender slash fitness instructor? Well, Florida woman's been on hard times, the wife here, because as a flight attendant, business has been down. And so, unfortunately, she goes off to work one day, and it turns out her shift got canceled. So, after just wasting about 3 hours of her day, she turns around and goes home. When she gets there, she's surprised because her husband's car is there, but he's supposed to be working at the gym. She hears some suspicious noises as she gets closer to the door, and you've heard the story before. She catches him in the act with another woman. So, Florida woman does, as Florida women do, she beat the snot out of him, left him with a black eye, a couple of scratches, a bruise on his right arm. But remember, men and women are different. Men will break your bones. Women will break your soul. Because what she does next is to really hurt him. In a move straight out of Animal House, she goes and grabs his beloved acoustic guitar and smashes it on the wall like John Belushi. It also leaves a big gaping hole in the wall, and the acoustic guitar is left in bits. And Florida woman is extra upset. He didn't even have the common decency to wear a mask.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Happy Thanksgiving from Sterling every damn night.
Well, now it gets exciting because I have to do all of the normal things. Plus, I have to deal and negotiate with the phenomena of Christmas. And the greatest challenge is, what is Santa going to bring my wife? What is Santa going to bring my wife? And how is it going to be done in such a way that it will not have to be returned to the North Pole? How are we going to do it so I don't need to feverishly print out the return slip? That's the key. That is the key to a successful Santa visit for my wife. How do we make sure that the whatever Santa brings stays in our home? It does not wind up at the UPS store or Whole Foods. Oh, my God, let me tell you something. If you return an Amazon product, you got to United Parcel, Whole Foods, many ways, right? Many ways to return. But here's the thing. I usually go to the United Parcel, which pretty much every day I'm returning something to the United Parcel store with an Amazon package, right? You probably spend much of your life there, maybe your entire life there. You print out stuff or you download it on the phone, you show them the QR code, they're very happy to see you. They take, oh, no, no, no. That isn't free. You're going to have to pay for the postage on that. That's for Amazon Marketplace. What? Amazon Marketplace. It means it doesn't really come from Amazon. It comes from some sketchy person in Kentucky that makes things. And that to return is a very complicated process. Well, this time, I decided rather than go to United Parcel, I was going to take it to Whole Foods. I was going to take my two packages to Whole Foods. And I was being very good. I was returning mop heads that cost like $8. But I was returning them because it was the wrong mop heads. I've usually I would have been a jerk and just put it on a shelf or thrown them away because, gee, it's only $8. It's not worth it to me. It's worth it. It's all worth it, right? Okay. I usually go to UPS. I have all my paperwork for UPS. I go to Whole Foods. Now I go to Whole Foods and there's a long stanchion, you know, like at the airport. One of those things where they form lines. Okay, you got it. You went to college. And now there's nobody there. There's nobody behind the counter at Whole Foods for the Amazon returns, and there's nobody waiting. Great. I get there. I stand there right at the beginning of the stanchion. The person working there comes out and says, oh, you have to go through the line. And I'm like, this is a South Park bit. There's nobody here. Well, those people, what people? Well, at that moment, a family showed up behind me. I said, well, they weren't here when I showed up, and you weren't here when I showed up. You want me to go to the end of that line and just walk to demonstrate that I can walk? I'm not going to do that. Here, give me. And the other person behind the counter took my package and saw the insanity of what I was dealing with. But then it gets worse. She looks at the paperwork and she says, oh, this, you can't return with this paper. You've registered that you're going to return via United Parcel. Yeah, so you can't just take it? No, you have to cancel it and start again saying that you're going to return it to Whole Foods. What? All right, I have to go online. I have to cancel it. I have to cancel it and say that I'm returning it to Whole Foods. It's a whole project. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Sterling is brought to life by these creative people. Music director Lee Harris. Technical wizard Dave Scalish. Operations Frank Canal. Sound mixers Sean Cicero, Sean Walsh, Andrew Torres. Voice actors James Parker, James Copeland, that's me, Randy Thomas, Charlie Van Dyke, Charles Van Sant, Robert Clotworthy, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Erotic Thrills Thea Landon, Class Act Jill Brooke and Matus Bumball, Baked Goods Steve and Selena JB Bakery, Quantum Physics Dave Scott, a Canadian, Ross Coulthart, an Australian, Skullduggery Vic Ferrari, Blessings Father James Drucker, Meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser, Writer Jerry the Writer, Business Guidance Craig Kitchen, Program originated by Chris Olivero, Long-Suffering Executives David Yadgroff and Greg Stalker, with respect Alex Bennett, Sally Jesse Raphael, and Gene Shepard. A great way to